and Psalm 138. I guess the text is found in 137, and then the text is actually a question, and then the answer is found in Psalm 138. And so I'd like to share that with you this morning, what the Lord's put on my heart. The Bible said in chapter 137 of Psalm, verse 1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. Verse 2, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Verse 3, for there they carried us away captive. They that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. In verse 4, their response was, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? That's my text this morning. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You can be seated. Pray with me and pray for me, please. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for your people that are gathered here today. I thank you, Lord, for these young people, the children, and those that are working with them, Lord, so faithfully and so diligently. And Lord, I'm glad that, Lord, I know it maybe was even designed to be a children's song, but I'm glad I know that Jesus loves me. I'm glad the Bible tells me so. I'm glad, Lord, in my heart, every once in a while, you just squeeze my heart and let me know, Lord, you haven't went anywhere. You're still there. You still care. And Lord, I pray that this morning in this message, our Father, that you would encourage our hearts together. Lord, I know that many in these days are discouraged. And Father, if I would be honest, there have been times in my own heart that I've been very discouraged. And I pray this morning, Father, that you would encourage our hearts together, and God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. One more prayer request before I preach this morning. I had the privilege a couple weeks ago to go bowling with the teenagers. And I was very proud of myself. For three games, I averaged 185. Now, that's what I averaged when I was a teenager. Say amen. I was very, very proud of myself. Well, Brother James and Sister Thelma, they came by the bowling alley. And Brother James said, Pastor, I know why you wanted me to bowl. You just wanted me to bowl so you could beat me, didn't you? And then this morning before church, Brother James promptly informed me that last Thursday, for three games, he averaged 211. I think he was sandbagging. Amen. And I'll tell you what, Brother James, you're right-handed, and I'll bowl against you, brother, if you let me tie your right hand to your left shoe. And if we can do it like that, I think it'd be fair. Amen? Amen. It's good to have fun, isn't it?
Amen.
Good to love one another till he comes. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I want to ask you a question. Is there anybody besides me that feels like we're living in a strange land? It's a strange day, a strange hour that we're living in, a strange land that we're living in. I'm not going to get all political on you this morning, but if there are some, if they had their way, my children, grandchildren won't even recognize this country when they get to be my age. And we need to be praying. We really do. Tuesday is an election day, and there's an election going on, if you're paying attention, in Virginia, that God's people, whether we live in Virginia or not, need to be praying about. I believe it'll be a good indication of whether we've got much hope left in our country or not. So do be praying. Would you do that, please? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I'd be honest with you, in the last 6-8 months, There have been more days that I didn't feel like singing than that I did feel like singing. There are things that just weigh heavy on your heart. And God spoke to my heart. I had a message, and I may get to preach that message tonight if God will let me. But I had a message that I thought the Lord was leading out of the book of Joshua. And the Lord, early this morning, changed my heart, changed my mind, and led me to this text. And I want to give you the answer here. I think it's all right to ask a question, but I think we should look in God's Word for the answer. Many have realized for years that the answer is found in God's Word. Yeah. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I want to say this. One of the marks of a born-again believer is God puts a new song in our heart. Even praise unto our God. He lifts us up out of a horrible pit. He sets us on a rock, a solid rock. And he puts a new song in our heart. Even praise unto our God. So this morning I believe that God answers the question in this text. He answers it in chapter 137 and in chapter 138, and I'd like to look at that this morning. I want to say this morning. It's evident to me that I'm not the only one having trouble. I'm not the only one, beloved, listen, that's been tempted in these days to hang my harp upon the willow. Would somebody say amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I believe if God would have his way this morning in this service, there'd be some of us, Brother Preston, by faith, reaching up there and saying, God, I want my heart back.
Amen.
See, I'm still breathing. And the Word of God said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
This morning in the text, I want to just give it a simple thought. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It begins with God's people remembering. They're just recollecting. They're just recalling. And I have a little table where I study that I put out in my shop. And about every two or three months, I change the cover on the table. It's paper. It's white paper. I make notes all over it. And about every two or three months, it gets to where you can't make sense out of it. And I put me down a new piece of paper and start all over again. Amen. This morning, I was there. And I began to recall the goodness of God. The Word of God said here in the text, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. I believe one of the first steps, beloved, in getting that heart down and making that music and that melody in our hearts that we once made unto the Lord is just to begin to recollect and just to begin to recall the goodness and the grace of God. I began this morning early as God was speaking to my heart to think about those days when I was lost, to think about the days when I was miserable, to think about the nights that I would lay my head on the pillow and had absolutely no assurance that if I died in the night or Jesus came in the night, that heaven would be my home. I thought about the days when, listen, I knew how to worry, but I didn't know how to trust God. I knew with children and bills to pay and mouths to feed, I knew how to worry about what needed to be done and worry about where is it going to come from, but I didn't know how to trust God. Aren't you glad it's different in these days? That God has brought us to a place, amen, where we've learned to trust Him. We've learned to lean on Him. And we've learned to understand, beloved, listen, that even in the darkness, God is still good. Amen. He's still good.
even in the dark days. God's people begin to remember. When we remember, we're going to want to sing. Brother Ralph, I don't know what God's going to lead you to do, but I want you to pay attention to the blessed Holy Ghost. I believe God will bring a song to your mind that we need to sing in the end of this service. Something, amen, that causes us to want to go back and thank Him, amen, for what He's done. Go back and praise Him for what He's done. Listen to me. We've got enough to praise God for on all eternity. If He don't do anything else, we've got enough to praise God for all eternity. He saved my soul. He satisfied that longing in my heart, amen. God's people remembering. He said, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art thou to be destroyed? Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stone. We need to remember, beloved, listen, not only the goodness of God, but we need to remember that God, He knows who the enemy is, and He knows how to handle the enemy. There are some enemies of the gospel in America today. There are some enemies of freedom in America today. There are some enemies of democracy in America today. There are some enemies of the church in America today. And I'm telling you what, listen, you want to keep looking at the enemy? Leave your harp hanging on the willow. But I thank God this morning, God's put it in my heart to look beyond the enemy and see the one, beloved, that's greater than the enemy. See the one, beloved, listen, that has a plan for my life, that has a plan for this country, that has a plan for my family. And realize, beloved, listen, as I remember and as I recall, God's got this, amen. It's not taking Him by surprise. He knows what we need. He knows when we need it. And we need to get the harp down. And we need to bless His name once again. I'll give you this morning. Not only how shall we sing the song, the Lord's song in a strange land. By the way, beloved, think about that. Aren't you glad you're not singing the song you used to sing? I don't even sing the songs I used to sing. I don't even listen to the songs I used to listen to. You want to know why? Because God changed my heart. He changed my appetite. Listen, I don't want to listen to sleeping under a table at a roadside park anymore. Hallelujah! I want to listen to love lifted me. Victory in Jesus. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'll tell you something right now. Our young people are in a battle. And moms and dads, if we've got any sense at all, we ought to want to steer them away from this garbage that's promoting drugs and promoting immorality and promoting suicide. Say amen. We ought to want to steer them into the songs of Zion, the songs of God, something that'll lift them up, not something that'll tear them down. Oh, beloved friend, God's people remembering. I see this secondly. I see God's people's responsibility. We don't just need to remember. We have a responsibility. I'm telling you this morning, I've been blessed beyond measure. I looked over in the corner of the choir and I had a granddaughter standing on the front corner over there in the choir. That blessed me, Sister Carol, beyond measure. The young'un's working hard. She's working long hours. She's found out now, listen, life has begun. Say amen. And I'm telling you, she's hanging in there and she's doing a good job and I'm proud of her. I'm telling you what, we've raised a generation of sorry young'uns. Say amen that thinks everything ought to be given to them on a silver platter. I'm telling you, I thank God for young'uns that'll work, but I thank God that that baby wants to be in the choir and be in the house of God when she can be here. We have a responsibility. You say, Pastor, what is our responsibility? Let me give you some things. Look at verse 1 of chapter 138, a whole heart. You ought to underline that in your Bible. I'm going to tell you something what happens when, let me tell you what happens when somebody's hanging their harp upon the willow and they no longer want to sing the songs. I'm going to tell you what's happened. Their heart's divided. Their hearts pulled in two. Listen, the psalmist said, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. God doesn't want half-heartedness. Say amen. Oh, listen to me. Listen, I'm not being critical, but it's the truth. I've walked back through the congregation when people were singing before. And Brother Taylor, a lot of people are singing half-hearted. A lot of people are living half-hearted. A lot of people are reading their Bible half-hearted. A lot of people are praying half-hearted. Our responsibility, beloved, listen, if God is going to help us, it's to put our whole heart into it and dedicate ourselves to the cause of Christ. But then I see this, not only the phrase whole heart, but look in verse number 2, I see the phrase worship. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. The songwriters wrote a long line in a song, something along these lines. Lock me up in prison and throw away the key. I'll still go free. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, listen, it doesn't matter how dark it gets. It doesn't even matter, beloved, if we lose our freedoms. Listen, you say, Pastor, you got no Bible for that. How about let's visit with Paul and Silas at midnight, beaten, black and blue. Their back is bleeding. And what are they doing down there? They're not free. They're locked up in the innermost prison. But I tell you what they're doing. They're praying and they're praising God and they're singing. Amen. You want to know why, beloved? Listen, because what they could take from them physically, they could not take from them spiritually. They couldn't take that whole heart. They couldn't take that worship away from them. They were going to worship God. Beloved, listen, you'll find out something about your worship if it works in the valley. If your worship don't work in the valley, it ain't the right kind of worship. I'm telling you, beloved, if you can worship God when you're healthy, but you can't worship Him when your health fails, you ain't got the right kind of worship. If you can worship God when you're wealthy, and you can't worship God when you're broke, you've got the wrong kind of worship. God wants us to worship. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He said in the book of Malachi, I am the Lord. I change not. Our situation may change, but our Savior will never change. He's the same every day. The word worship. Then look in verse number 2 again. He said, I'll worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Beloved, listen. A Sunday school teacher will put an emphasis on the Word of God. A pastor will put an emphasis on the Word of God. Well, right here in this text, God put an emphasis. He said, I've magnified the Word of God. Listen, Jesus has got a name that's above every name. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe this is the most neglected book in America. Just ever so often on the news, beloved, somebody writes a book about current events And listen, I'm not against you if you get them and you read them. I just don't have time. Amen. I got to read this when I've got time to read. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, they'll say it's a bestseller. It's a bestseller. It's a number one bestseller. It's sold millions of copies. But I believe this right here is the most neglected book in America. And when we get back to this book, beloved, we can get our harp down off the willow. And we can sing unto the Lord that new song. Amen. And we can, beloved, worship Him the way He wants us to worship Him, regardless of our circumstances. He said, in the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthenest me with the strength, which strengthened my soul. You know what we need in this generation? I didn't say you. We. But unless we need strength, we need God to strengthen us. We need God to help us. Amen. And I believe God wants to help us in these days. Then the Bible said, listen, all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Look in verse 5. This is the next thing. God's people have a responsibility. We see God's people remembering. We see God's people's responsibility. The Bible said they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me carefully. One man and one woman getting married and having a family, that's the way of the Lord. When you start talking about a man and a man or a woman and a woman, that's not the way of the Lord. When you talk about staying away from that alcohol when it moveth itself aright, not looking on it. The Bible said wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever's deceived thereby is not wise. I'm telling you, in a Christian school, I had a young person ask me this week, is it wrong to drink alcohol? I said, honey, if it's for medicine and that's the only medicine you can get, I don't think it would be wrong. But I said, we've got too much to drink to be drinking alcohol. God don't even want us looking on it. You know what? It'd probably surprise us how many people in Baptist churches and Methodist churches, amen, are sipping and nipping, amen. I'm telling you right now, it's a bad testimony, amen. We've got enough good water to drink and enough good milk to drink. And if we need some medicine, that's one thing. And there's enough medicine to go around. But I'm telling you, there's some things God's people ought to stay away from. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. And the ways of the Lord are different from the ways of the world. We're living in a generation now where many young people, they're honoring the Lord with their life, and they want to save themselves for their marriage, and they want to walk down an aisle and get married the way that God planned it. But there are others, beloved, that have nothing to do with God's plan. They'll just go shack up. And beloved, it's not just young people. Older people are shacking up in this generation, shacking up to sin. Amen. Don't matter if people are old or young doing it. It's not in the plan of God. If we get back to the ways of the Lord, we'll get our harp down off the willow. And we'll sing unto the Lord. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. There's a lot I don't know. But I know this. I know when it comes in a family, and somebody's not walking in the ways of the Lord, I know there's a tendency. There's a tendency to pet that sin. And all of a sudden, you know, that sin was bad when it was somebody else's family. I'm going to tell you something right now. It don't matter if it's your family or my family. If it's sin, it's still sin. It's still bad, and it'll still destroy us. The Bible said every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it's finished, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. That's what the Word of God said. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The ways of the Lord. I want you to see this, the last thing in the message today. How can we sing the song, the Lord's song in a strange land? We need God's people remembering. I tell you something, listen to me carefully. Let me just tell you that I, last night, watched the World Series. Listen, Brother Steve, they showed it on TV. There was a throng, a multitude of people outside the stadium. And every time something good happened on their team, they came unglued. You got people say, I just don't believe we should be emotional. Go down there and sit behind them at the football game. You know what I believe? I believe we ought to be thrilled for our team. I'm on God's team. Say amen. We are somebody. We're going somewhere. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. I'm not against rooting for your team. I'm not against, thank God, listen, praising the Lord for His salvation. I'm not against praising the Lord, beloved, in the sanctuary. I'm not against praising the Lord in the forest. I believe we ought to praise Him wherever He is. And He's everywhere. The last thing I want you to see in the message, you see God's people remembering, you see God's people's responsibility, but I want you to see God reviving. You see, if we will do our part, how many knows this? If we'll do our part, God will do His part. You say, well, preacher, I'll just leave my harp hanging up there because God ain't doing His part. That's a lie. God will always do His part. Amen. If we'll do our part, I promise you, God will do His part. Look with me at the text here. The Bible said here, though the Lord, I'm reading in verse number 6, though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you could understand that, we'd shout right there. As high as he is, he'll come down here, Aubrey, and bless us, honey, as low as we are. I'm telling you, he has respect to the lowly. You see, he wants us to humble ourselves and admit that we need him. Admit that we want him. Admit that we can't do it without him. He said here, he talks about the other, he said the proud he knoweth afar off. Beloved, listen. God, the Bible said, is near to him that is of a broken and a contrite spirit. I'm telling you, beloved, God is reviving. Watch what he said here. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect of the lowly. Look at verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. I thought revival came when we got out of all the trouble. That ain't what it said. The psalmist David said, though I walk in the midst of trouble. Listen, the days that we're living in, the darkness that's coming upon us should have nothing to do with your harp and my harp, with your song and my song, with your praise and my praise. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, if anything, beloved, the darkness ought to be making an announcement. The king is on his way, and he ought to find us shouting his praises in this generation that we live in. Amen. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. I don't know about you, beloved, but I'm glad that there's somebody that's for me, that's greater than he that's against me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. How does God revive us here? He said here, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand. God wants us to know his hand. But there's another thing God wants us to know in the text. God wants us to know his heart. Look at verse number 8. The Bible said here, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Beloved, if you're here today and you are a child of the living God, you are a work of the Master's own hands. And if you want to look at the Master's hands, that's wonderful to know that his hand is with you. His hand can handle the enemy. But I want you to look at his heart. He's already determined, beloved, you can read it in Romans chapter number 8, where God sees us already glorified, already like Jesus. He's already determined. This is the way Paul said it to the church at Philippi. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, why is he going to perform that work until the day of Jesus Christ? Because on that day, he's going to perfect that work that he's been performing, that he started when he saved us. Amen. He didn't just save us and leave us there. But, beloved, he's been growing us and helping us. And I believe as God causes us to remember and God causes us to live up to our responsibility and God revives our hearts, that we'll want to pull our harp down off of the willow and play God another song and praise him once again. Regardless of the trouble. Oh, Job said, man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I'm going to tell you what, listen to me, child of God. Our life is fixing to be something besides full of trouble. We're fixing to go to a place where trouble can't go. We're fixing to go to a place, listen, beloved, where the enemy can't go. We're fixing to go to a place where the aches and pains can't go. I'm telling you what's the truth. Beloved, listen, we have a promise from God that that which He has begun, He will perfect it.
Amen.
He will perfect it on that day when He comes again.
Amen.
I don't know about you. I want to stop and say, Lord Jesus, thank You. God, last night I just knew that we were going to be in Joshua. But God, there's such a peace in my heart. I know now I've done exactly what You wanted me to do this morning. And God, I pray that God's people will pick up their responsibility. Their responsibility in the Word of God. Their responsibility to worship. Their responsibility to walk in the ways of the Lord. God, I pray You'll revive us. God, stir our hearts. Lord, I know that in days of old, God, that people wasn't waiting on everything to be just right. Lord, they praised You in the good times. They praised You in the bad times. They praised You, our Father, in the light, and they praised You, our Father, when it got dark. And I pray, dear Father, that we'd realize in these days, Jesus is soon coming. Help us, oh God, not to be caught with our harp hung up on the willow. Help us to have it in our hand. Help us to be making melody in our heart unto the Lord. Lord, that's a evidence of a Spirit-filled believer. Lord, all of us can't sing, but every one of us that's born again can make melody in our heart unto the Lord. I pray, dear Father, today You'd speak to our hearts. I pray, God, today You'd encourage our hearts. I pray, God, that maybe somebody want to be like me and say, God, I'm sorry for hanging my harp on the willow. I'm sorry for being overcome, Lord, of this world, and overcome of this darkness, and overcome of this situation. Lord, I'm reminded years ago about a man that a preacher said, how you doing? And the man said, doing pretty good under the circumstances. Lord, I'm reminded the preacher's answer was, what are you doing under there? Oh, God, we're not supposed to be living under the circumstances. We're supposed to be living under that bloodstained banner. Oh, God, I pray today, Lord, that You'd help us heal our hearts, revive our hearts, revive our church. Help us, oh, God, that we might praise You, our Father, love You, serve You till You come. In Jesus' name, amen.